today on Faith Forward with Pastor Howard John Wesley.
You got to have prayer that's part of your daily practice. You got to learn to pray every day because, baby, if you only pray when you're in trouble, you're already in trouble.
Welcome to Faith Forward with Pastor Howard John Wesley of Alfred Street Baptist Church, an inspiring weekly series that will provide practical life applications and motivate you to step out of the shadows and move forward in your faith.
This week on Faith Forward, in a sermon entitled After the Amen, Pastor Wesley uses the scripture passage of 1 Samuel 1, 1 through 18 to show us a God who doesn't hesitate in answering our prayers after we say amen. Let's listen.
Our theme has been focused on our prayer lives, realizing that prayer is the one thing that makes a difference in everything. I believe I can say without fear of successful contradiction and give you a money-back guarantee that prayer will change your life for the better. The more you pray, the better life will be. And as somebody, you've got a track record of that. You've been in some positions and places in life where you know you gave it over to the Lord. And as a songwriter said, the Lord worked it out. It doesn't matter what you're dealing with, doesn't matter what your predicament, doesn't matter what your problem. I'm a living witness and come by to tell you with absolute assurance on this Sunday morning that prayer changes things for the better. There's nothing you're going through that prayer is not able to make a difference in. Prayer has the ability to turn situations around. Prayer creates opportunity where doors used to be closed. Prayer has a way of opening your eyes to the goodness, the grace, and the glory of God that you did not see on a daily basis. There's a witness in this house. Prayer will heal you from the inside out. Wish I had somebody that knew that prayer can take an enemy and turn them into someone that God uses to deliver a blessing in your life. And prayer has a way of working on children. Prayer can turn a spouse around. Prayer can make ways out of no ways. Is there just a witness in this house on a Sunday morning about the power of prayer? If you don't know about prayer, let me just tell you like the late Reverend Dr. Alvin John Wesley used to say to me. He used to say, what prayer can't do, can't be did. Because prayer has an ability to do everything that you need did in your life. And somebody today, if you want to make a difference, if you want to see your life change, if you want to see things happen, all you've got to do is learn to kneel down before the Lord God, stretch out your hands and cry out in sincerity, Lord, I stretch my hand unto thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, O God, whither shall I go? And I'm a witness that we serve a God who hears your faintest cry, and he will answer by and by, that if you give it to God, God is able to work it out for your good. Y'all, prayer is so critical that it's the only thing Jesus taught his disciples how to do. He didn't teach them how to preach a sermon, didn't teach them how to gather together a 10-year strategic plan, didn't teach them how to run a church business meeting. And those were things they were going to need if they were going to live in the body of Christ. But Jesus said, if you're going to be a successful disciple, the one thing you need to know how to do is how to pray. And so as Jesus taught his disciples in this series, we've been trying to look at some examples of prayer in the Bible and see how they teach us how to pray. We started this journey in Acts chapter 16 with that powerful prayer of Paul and Silas. And I asked the question, what kind of prayer shakes the world up? The reality is that we learn that you got to have prayer that's part of your daily practice. You got to learn to pray every day because, baby, if you only pray when you're in trouble, you're already in trouble. Prayer requires a dependable partner. Because for all of us, there will come a moment in life when we don't pray as we should. But thanks be to God that there's somebody somewhere who remembered our name and bowed before the Lord. And some of us know that the protection and the provision of God that we've experienced in our lives was not the direct result of prayers we prayed, but that you had a mama and a daddy, a grandmama, a praying saint in the church who knelt down on your behalf. You ever been sick and had somebody pray for you when you didn't have the strength to pray for yourself and you knew that God answered? Have you ever prayed for somebody else and you saw God move in their life and all you could say was, thank God he answered your prayer for someone else? There's something powerful about praying for one another. And you got to have a prayer that you're not afraid to display in public. One of the greatest witnesses and signs of our faith is not a cross on your neck or a big Bible that is left in your car week after week, but rather you being able to pray to God wherever you may be and never being ashamed to tell folk, I'm having a little talk with Jesus. Well, today, as we continue on learning about prayer from the Bible, I want you to join what I think is one of the most powerful prayers in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament. Comes in the book of 1 Samuel. That book of Israel's history, 1 Samuel. If you have difficulty finding it, it's right before 2 Samuel. But for those who don't know better, 2 Samuel. Somebody say Sunday school, Sunday school. Turn me to 1 Samuel chapter 1, if you will. And if you're physically able, would you stand as we reverence the reading of God's word from the New King James Version of 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning in verse number 1. The word of the Lord says, now there was a certain man of Ramathaim, Zophim, of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. And this man had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, the name of the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man Elkanah went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrificed to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year when Hannah went up to the house of the Lord that Peninnah provoked her. Therefore, Hannah wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord, and Hannah was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. She made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and do not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Can we hang out in the last part of that last verse right there? And she went her way and ate and was no longer sad. As we continue to teach, talk, and touch on the idea of prayer, I want to preach this morning from the subject after the amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. First Samuel, the first chapter, introduces to us One of the most powerful prayers in the Bible, the prayer of Hannah, the barren, childless wife of a man named Elkanah. And like other barren women in the Bible, like Sarah and Rachel, Rebecca, Elizabeth, Manoah's wife, Hannah is plagued and problemed by her infertility and inability to carry, bear, and birth not just a child, but a male child. For you know that in those days and in that time and that culture, a woman's inability to bear her husband a male child was almost a badge of worthlessness, a sign of insecurity, a problem that needed to be solved. And even though Elkanah loves Hannah, the Bible says her infertility, her barrenness, has caused Elkanah to marry a second wife. The second wife's name is Peninnah. You need to know that in Hebrew, the name Peninnah means fertile. And y'all, that's exactly what Peninnah proves to be, a fertile woman. She bears Elkanah not only many daughters, but many sons. And if you know anything about Bible, or if you know anything about life, you can probably already guess that one man with two women ain't going down well. The Bible says that Peninnah lords it over Hannah that she is able to give Elkanah children while Hannah is barren. As a matter of fact, the specific language of the Bible is that Peninnah has made Hannah's life a living hell. The Bible calls them rivals, and that word rival is the same Hebrew word that is used to describe the enemies of the people of God of Israel. So what we have here is a home that has become hell for Hannah because she can bear no children. She wakes up day in and day out for Peninnah to taunt her, and to tease her, to plague her, and to point fingers at her, to laugh at her, to make fun of her and suggest you're not a woman because you can't bear a child. And Hannah reaches a point where she's had enough. She realizes, Theron, that this is not a problem Elkanah, her husband, can solve. She realizes that this is a problem that demands she go to Shiloh, go to the tabernacle, lay at the altar, and have a little talk with the Lord. Beloved, I would that you make note that life has a way of putting you in some places where you've got some problems that other folk can't solve. If you keep on living, you will have something land in your lap that your checkbook can't fix. If you grow old and gray, you'll find out that life brings some challenges you can't go to Google and find an answer for. But there comes a moment in every journey of life where the only thing you can do is kneel down, give it over to the Lord.
You've been listening to After the Amen here on Faith Forward with Pastor Howard John Wesley. We'll be right back.
Everyone is invited to meet us at Red Rocks in Northeast DC on Wednesday, August 3rd for the all-new and exciting Kaya. The August Kaya event, entitled The August Cool Down, will be hosted by Grammy Award nominee Raheem Devon. You'll be able to network and connect with other Kaya attendees at this one-of-a-kind experience. So be sure to invite your friends, colleagues, co-workers, and or members of your frat or sorority to meet you at Red Rocks in Northeast DC on August 3rd from 6 till 9 p.m. You don't want to miss the August Kaya experience. You've been listening to Faith Forward with Pastor Howard John Wesley of Alfred Street Baptist Church. To download this week's message in its entirety or to support this ministry financially, visit alfredstreet.org. Remember, Alfred Street Baptist Church has four opportunities for you to worship with us every weekend, in person and or online. Please visit alfredstreet.org for details.
And now back to After the Amen with Pastor Howard John Wesley.
Life has a way of putting you in a place where prayer is all you can do. And when you reach that place where all you can do is pray, please don't talk about prayer like it has no proven power. I don't know, Sister June, what to do with saints that come in the office with problems, and Vernon, they say things like, well, I guess all I can do is pray. Let me tell you something, that if you reach the place where all you can do is pray, trust me, you're in a good position. Because when you kneel before the Lord and you tell the Lord about the circumstances of your life and you trust God with everything, there are some witnesses in this house that God has a way of hearing your faintest cry, and the Lord will answer by and by. She goes to Shiloh and she prays, and I want you to hear how her prayer goes. She says, Lord, remember me. Look upon my affliction. She says, God, if you would give me a male child, I will give him back to you. Notice the power of prayer that Hannah says that what I'm asking God to give to me, I'm going to give it back unto the Lord. Don't you ever ask God for something that you're not willing to render back in service to God in some way, shape, or form. Come here. That's why somebody you know always has some financial failure in their life. Because you're always praying for God to bless you financially, but you have no commitment to give back unto the Lord a small portion of what God has given you. If God is gracious enough to bless you with what you don't deserve, you ought to be faithful enough to give some of it back to God as a way of saying thank you for what the Lord had gone preach past. She asked God for a child. But watch the amazing part of her prayer. After she asks God, the Bible says around verse 12 that she kept on praying. She didn't stop after she asked for what she wanted. But she realized that prayer is not simply you asking God for what you need. The Bible says she then begins to pour out her soul and lay her affliction before the Lord. She has a talk with God that is greater than simply, God, fix this and do this for me. Beloved, I would that you make note of that, because some people's prayer lacks power because they suffer from a spiritual ailment called premature amen. That your amen from your prayer comes too quickly. Somebody on your pew, this is where your prayer life looks right now. You kneel down when you're in trouble. And you say, God, I done got myself in a mess. I need you to fix this, heal this, change this, move this, do this, amen, and you on your way. Beloved, that is not powerful prayer. Because prayer is not simply you going to God, telling God what you need God to do. Prayer is when you kneel down before the Lord and you begin to pour out your soul to God and share with God the afflictions of your life and describe to God the pain you're dealing with, and you have a talk with God that lasts longer than 30 seconds. The shameful part is that there's some folk who post more of their life on Facebook than they share with God in prayer on their knees. She stays there in prayer, and her prayer gets so deep that she's moving her mouth, but no words are coming out, because sometimes when you get to a powerful place of prayer, you don't know what to say. You just sit there. But the good news for the Pentecostal folk in the house, Romans 8 tells us that the Holy Spirit makes intercessions for us and prays in ways that we don't know how to pray because we don't know what to say. But when you stay there long enough, the Holy Spirit will find you and pray with you and for you. Yeah. That ain't for everybody. That's for you Baptist Costals.
She's praying, and Eli sees her and thinks she's drunk. She said, look, Eli, I ain't had nothing to drink, no Moscato, no hen. I have been pouring out my soul to the Lord. And if you keep on reading in chapter 1, you know how the story goes. God remembers her. God allows her to conceive a child. And it's not just a child, it's a male child. And it's not just any male child, for the son she gives birth to is a brother by the name of Samuel. And Samuel is one of the greatest prophets Israel has ever known. A barren woman prays and is given a son who changes the world. And that made me pause, kindle, and wonder what kind of prayer opens closed doors like that? What kind of prayer produces children who change the world? What kind of prayer fertilizes sterile living? What kind of prayer makes a way where there was no way? What kind of prayer is so good that it causes God to shut the mouths of those who are troubling you before you knelt down in prayer? What kind of prayer does stuff like that? And trying to understand that, the Holy Spirit dropped something on me that I really want to share with you. And that is that the power of Hannah's prayer was not simply found in what she prayed, but rather part of the power of Hannah's prayer is found in what she does after she prays. Beloved, I want to teach something about prayer this morning, because somebody, you've got to twist it. I want you to know that the power of prayer has never been rooted in the eloquence of your petition. So you think prayer, you don't know how to pray because you can't pray like that old deacon that used to get up in your church and string together them cliches and quote them hymns, and you can't pray like that sister that quotes every verse of the Bible when she kneels down. The power of prayer is not found in what you pray. I can prove it to you, because your subjects and verbs ain't even got to match when you talk to God. You can talk to God in broken English, and God is so much God that he knows what you need when you don't even pray the right way, and he does it anyhow. No, part of the power of prayer is rooted in how you act after the amen. Because there's some things you can do after the amen that indicate you really have prayed. And likewise, there's some things you can fail to do that show you really don't trust God at all. So after your amen, there's some things that ought to indicate you've been on your knees with God. There's some behavior you ought to embody. There's something that ought to be in your character that shows you and the Lord have had some time together. Watch what the Bible says about Hannah. She teaches us some things about after the amen. The Bible says this, that after the amen, she went her way, she ate, and her face was no longer sad. Can we hang out on those 3 points, and then I'll let you go home and share it with your neighbor? Number one, the Bible says she went her way. I want to suggest to you, number one in this sermon, that after the amen, you ought to be able to address your predicament. That after your talk with the Lord is over, you ought to be able to go your way and deal with the stuff that's been dealing with you. And watch what the Bible says. She is in Shiloh praying. She recognizes, I can't stay here 24 hours, 7 days a week. At some point, I've got to end this prayer, and I've got to go back and deal with the stuff that brought me here in the first place. And here is the power of prayer, that when you pray and pray correctly, you are engaging in God's spiritual exchange program. That when you kneel before God, you are giving God one thing, and God in return is giving you something else. When you pray, Paul says that you're giving him your anxiety, but he's giving you a peace that surpasses all understanding. You're giving him your trouble. He's giving you a power that will guard your heart and mind. You're giving him your uncertainties. He's giving you his discernment and his will. You're giving him your fears. He's giving you the faith you need to face your fears. You're giving him your struggle. He's giving you the strength you need to stand in your struggle. You're giving him the hell you're going through. He's guarding your heart so hell don't go through you no more. And when you pray, God gives you the strength to say amen. Get off your knees. Stand on your feet. Get some back in your backbone and walk back into the very thing that made you pray in the first place, believing that God is able to handle my situation. Can I preach about fire, folk? Let me tell you how you know folk that have been praying. Because people who've been praying don't avoid stuff, they address it. People who've been praying, they don't run from things. They stand still and watch the salvation of the Lord. Folk who've been praying, you don't need to walk around the long way to your office to get to your desk. When you've been praying, you walk right by that joker, stop, look him eyeball to eyeball, say good morning, may the Lord bless you real good, and then you go on, sit down and get your day started because you got courage. Boy. Prayer will give you the power to address some stuff you'd rather avoid. Watch this. So she's going back to her home. And y'all, if you were following me when I read scripture, guess who's still at the house after the prayer? Penina. Because see, prayer don't kill some folk you wish it would. She's got to go back and deal with Penina, knowing that Penina has been mean. Penina has been a difficult woman to deal with. Penina has caused trouble after trouble. But prayer gives you the power to show up in what you know is going to be an ugly situation, but you don't run from it because God has given you the strength to walk in the middle of it and trust that he's going to work it out for your good.
You've been listening to Faith Forward with Pastor Howard John Wesley of Alfred Street Baptist Church. To download this week's message in its entirety or to support this ministry financially, visit alfredstreet.org. Remember, Alfred Street Baptist Church has 4 opportunities for you to worship with us every weekend, in person and or online. Please visit alfredstreet.org for details.
Join us next week on Faith Forward with Pastor Howard John Wesley.